Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, Jetta Cameron, John Johnson, 94 WIP. Obviously one of those days where, you know, I mean, the topic is less pure sports than we would, you know, ordinarily want to do. But such is life when Pete Rose is pathetic yesterday.
Yeah, he's being Pete Rose, apparently.
Being Pete Rose. So let me ask a question, John, to you that we haven't addressed yet. And I'm curious what your instincts on this one says. And it's a question I'll throw out to everyone at 215-592-9494 because I keep checking my phone, you know, every 20, 30 minutes, thinking that maybe the Phillies will put out a statement. So, John, let me ask you this question. Two-part question. Do you think the Phillies will put out a public statement to talk about what happened yesterday with Pete Rose? And do you think the Phillies should put out a statement to address what happened yesterday with Pete Rose?
Boy, I'm sure this...
To distance themselves from him and to try to gain some higher ground. And perhaps the statement could say, we regret our decision to bring him in. Do you think there will be a statement forthcoming? By the way, the iron is hot. You can't put this statement out Wednesday. You either put it out today or you don't put it out.
Now, I imagine early this morning, maybe top of the 9 o'clock hour, there was a conversation with some higher-ups with Major League Baseball about what transpired and both of their levels of disappointment, and they're both having the conversation now. Do we jointly put out a statement, or, you know, maybe Major League Baseball as a whole puts out a statement about Pete Rose and how he conducted himself yesterday? If you're the Phillies,
I think it's a definite yes.
First of all, you have to.
Yeah,
exactly. Because
you
brought him up into that booth after all of that, and he put them in the worst possible spot. He broke FCC regulations. He threw out a couple words you can't say, and nothing about his appearance other than him showing his face on the field and then walking back into the tunnel was positive from yesterday. I mean, the Phillies have won 5 in a row, 8 of 9, whatever it is overall. They're the second wildcard team. And we're talking about Pete Rose because he made him the story.
Yep.
He made himself the story by being an ass, by being a lowlife. The Phillies have to put out a statement.
Bingo. I think it's actually a no-brainer. I think because, listen, begin the process of distancing yourselves with them. You know, and you know, the Phillies could decide to what extent they want to go over the top with their words, but something as simple as, you know, we were extremely disappointed in Pete Rose's actions yesterday and his words, you know, as words or actions, however you want to phrase it. You know, we did not expect him to, you know, maybe they say we did not expect him to comport himself the way he did. Of course, then they can be criticized for not knowing that he might go that way. But just put out some statement that begins the process of distancing the Phillies from Pete Rose, I think would be a wise course of action. And I'll tell you this, John, I'm a little surprised. I am surprised that at 12:03 in the afternoon that statement hasn't been put out.
I know, and I know. Like we talked about all morning thus far,
because you do have a window. This is not Wednesday. This should not be Tuesday. Today is the day. I mean, the game was over yesterday by about 4:30 or so.
Here's the thing too that it's going to come. Has to come back to them if we haven't talked about this already. One of the main reasons that they pushed, you know, they ultimately said, "All right, we'll have Pete Rose there." It's because of who they were playing and trying to put more butts in the seats. I mean, it comes down to money. It's a business decision.
So I don't think it's as much that as some people think. I really don't. I know the Phillies are getting tagged with that, and you might be right, but you might be wrong. It might just be as simple as people from the Phillies organization in a position of power, A, wanted to appease the 80 Phillies players, however many it was, that advocated for him, and B, wanted to make fans happy, many of whom I do believe prior to yesterday wanted him there, myself being one of them.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, look at, you know, the ovation he got before anyone in the ballpark knew anything that had transpired right before that ovation, or obviously was subsequently about to transpire. While there were boos in that ovation, in that response, it was mostly cheers, and it was loud cheers. I wish we had done a poll last week, John. I really, looking back now, kick myself that we did not do a poll on our show last week that was just a simple question: do you think the Phillies are making the right decision to bring Pete Rose in for the ceremonies this weekend? And if we did, then I would have greater knowledge of what people thought last week.
Right. I'll tell you this, Joe. I'd be willing to bet there are a lot of Phillies fans who felt the same way that I did going into Sunday. They certainly had their reservations.
Yep.
And it wasn't so much the sports betting thing. It's what he has been accused of and admitted to doing with a girl that was only 14 years of age many years ago. And but at the same time, I wanted to hear what he had to say. He's had 30 years to talk about a lot, to build up to this moment, to address Phillies fans and all of Major League Baseball in a Q&A setting where he can say, you know, I've made some mistakes, I'm human, I apologize for that, you know, I'm not, blah, 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 whatever, however route he would take it from there.
Sure.
But the fact that when this opportunity presented itself, he went the complete opposite of that.
Totally.
And said, oh, I'm not talking about that. It was 50 years ago. And how dare you ask me? You weren't even alive, babe. Like, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah, brutal.
And then he goes up to the TV booth and starts dropping F-bombs in other words.
Well, not an F.
Excuse me. It was a
C and an S.
Three S's.
Three S's. Thank you.
Oh, was it three S's?
Yeah.
There were three S's.
And then there was a C
How
word.
Did I miss that? I thought it was one S.
We
okay.
played one, three in total, I believe.
Oh, okay. I had not. Okay, that's.
And then when he was in the middle of that, when he was clearly making Tom McCarthy very uncomfortable, where Tom deferred to the actual play-by-play, Pete Rose like, oh, I see you stray away from that real quick.
Yeah.
He's a jerk. He's a slimeball, low-life jerk. There's no other way to put it. And shame, in the end, the Phillies should have known better. It was a bad idea to begin with.
All right, look, we'll take everyone's reaction. 215-592-9494. John Johnson in for Richie today. Your reaction to the Pete Rose situation? Curious, last week, before the weekend, did you think he should or should not have been invited? And now seeing, obviously, how it played out, your thoughts on his conduct and where the situation goes from here. Again, 215-592-9494. And I'll answer where the situation goes from here. He'll never be invited back by the Phillies, and he will never, ever make the Baseball Hall of Fame while he is alive. He might make it decades from now after he's passed away, but it is a guarantee that he will not make the Baseball Hall of Fame while he's alive, because he just continues, for people that want to give him some benefit of the doubt, he continues to slap even those people in the face. Let's go to the phones. Tom in Abington right now. Yo, Tom.
Yo, fellas. How we doing today?
How you doing, Tom?
All right, so I want to touch on Jalen and Pete Rose.
Sure.
But first, I got to defend Dan the Man Wilson there, because, Joe, you are the last person on God's green earth that should be giving advice to anybody on the food they eat and their eating
Yeah,
habits.
But, Tom, this thing of Cheerios he had, I'm not making this up. It could last till Wednesday. Now, maybe that's the strategy, just bring it in, not have to transport from home and leave it in here. But, I mean, do you normally go to work on a Monday with food that could last you to Wednesday? That's kind of strange.
Well, no, maybe he brought it in with the thought of sharing some with you, so you're not eating peanut butter and crackers for breakfast.
Dude, I ate
Chips Ahoy in bed before you go to bed.
I ate ham and cheese, a ham and cheese sandwich with mustard for breakfast today, with a little.
And I rest my case.
A little potato salad on the side.
And I rest my case.
Yeah. All right, Tom, what do you got for us here?
Okay, so, you know, I won tickets to yesterday's game. Compliments of you guys. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. And I took Skylar with me, my daughter, who is 16. So we were there in plenty of time for the pregame ceremonies, but we did not go to our seats until after Pete Rose was announced, because he is a dirtbag. He is an a-hole. He is the scum of the scum of the earth. And for the Phillies to bring him back, what did they expect? This guy has been an unapologetic douche since all of this has happened.
All right, hold on. First off, dude, you got to watch some of where you're going here with the words. So just chill it out. A little, chill it out a little bit.
Yeah,
you're anti-Pete Rose, and I agree with you. He's a bad guy.
Yeah. It's just now, when it comes to gambling and steroids, I couldn't care less about that stuff. I think everybody should be in the Hall of Fame when it comes to that. But when it comes to the off-the-field stuff, that is just the lowest of the low. And for anybody to come on these airwaves and try to defend him is beyond me.
Yeah, well, listen, not many have. A few – oh, shoot. I meant to ask him best team ever, and I zipped him. Well, I'm sorry. I forgot to ask him best team ever. Some have defended him, not too many, at least during our show. Mm-hmm. Angelo's show, John, more defenders of Pete Rose.
There were, when I on my drive in and listening before I left, there were many who had called in to defend Pete Rose, yeah, saying, you know, coming, I mean, come on, how many years has it been? And that's
and you
defense.
Were extremely taken aback, and I think rightfully so, by the social media barrage you got yesterday.
Oh my goodness, I do not utilize social media the way that I used to, because I mean, let's be honest, it's a haven of just miserable people. So.
Not all of them.
79.9%. Hold on. Maybe 80%.
Dan Wilson, are you on social media?
Yes.
John Johnson, did you just call Dan Wilson a miserable person?
He doesn't fit the 20% of the good people. But like 80% are. But you know, I felt the need to at least remark upon reading what Pete Rose had said and then watching him in the booth with McCarthy and company. And I basically tweeted out, please escort him out and never allow him back to Citizens Bank Park. The barrage of hate that I'm receiving at this very moment, all these many hours later, it stupefies me. I cannot rationalize it. And I ended up losing like 700 followers or whatever, which is fine with me because clearly they were of a different mindset. But I'm just blown away at how many continue to defend him.
Yeah, no, I understand your thinking there. Hey, 215-592-9494, your opportunity to weigh in. Coming up, if you missed it, and I'm sure most people haven't, but if you did, the series of things that happened yesterday with Pete Rose, some of the audio, we will we'll play that again. We'll tee that up. We'll rock all your calls. John Johnson in for Richie today. Joe DeCamera, John Johnson on 94 WIP. All right, Joe DeCamera and John Johnson in for Richie. Richie out all week. Be back with us next week. Got a rotating cast of characters this week, including Jody Mack tomorrow when we're broadcasting from Eagles training camp. Looking forward to that. Chris will, in all likelihood, tee up some interviews with some of the players, have some fun down there at camp,
Joe,
give you the sights and sounds of training camp.
Can I ask you a question?
I suppose it's about to happen, whether I say yes or no.
Yeah, you didn't really have much of a choice.
By the way, you did. So, yes, you can ask me
all
a question.
Can I ask you multiple follow-up questions then?
Okay.
So
you caught that.
Joe, I got to be honest. I worry about you, and the last caller reminded me of it.
Okay.
So to take everybody back many, many years ago, 17 years ago, Joe, a little over 17 years ago now, when I was first hired by WIP, one of the first people I met after the initial person who hired me is I strolled my way through the studios in Bala Cynwyd, and I go down this little corridor in the green room, and I make a left turn into the producer's studio, and it's Joe DeCamera.
I'm so sorry if I was training you. I apologize.
Sitting there,
right out of the gate, I want to apologize.
Producing for Howard Eskin. I guess it was 3-7 on WIP.
That's correct.
At the time.
That's exactly right.
And sitting next to you, I mean, it was like a wraparound console. Sitting to your left on like a thinner console was an open cheesesteak.
Now, real quick, you vividly remember this.
I do. It's weird. Okay. Like, there's certain things you remember, and for some reason I remember this vividly, because you ended up correcting Howard because he couldn't remember the Music City Miracle. I remember that specifically because you said it in his ear.
I used to do that all the time. I never told anybody that. I used to do that all the time.
Well, there you go. You're responsible for Howard Heskin's success. Anyway, I remember the cheesesteak because the whole room smelled like it, and I saw it sitting next to you. And our last caller, I guess it was Tom or the caller before, had brought up how you know, what your eating lifestyle is, and you said how you had a ham and cheese with potato salad for breakfast. What's your diet looking like these days, Joe?
So it's improved. I wouldn't say leaps and bounds, but I would say a solid step forward.
Does that mean?
It means if I was a 2 out of 10, I'm now like a 4.5 out of 10. I mean, it is what it is.
Like, what are you eating differently?
Oh, gosh. I actually went to the I don't go to the grocery store much, so I went to the grocery store yesterday. I consider that a major win.
All right.
I got lunch meat. I know they say lunch meat isn't that healthy
it's
for you.
It's cured meat. Yeah, it's not great for you.
I know. I've heard that. But it's better probably than eating a cheesesteak, probably.
So you went from cheesesteak to hoagie.
I'm working on it. It's what they call a work in progress. Let's go to phones. 215-592-9494.
I worry about you.
Well, I appreciate
you get your
that.
Levels checked?
Yeah, I'm actually pretty good.
Are you?
Yeah, I'm pretty good.
You sure?
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm not perfect, but I'm pretty good. I'm on a statin. It's all right. I got a really good report from my doctor about 6 months ago, so I feel pretty good. I really do.
How many months did he give you?
Many. Whatever, 60 years times 12 months. That's what I got up ahead. Let's go to the phones. Let's talk to the sledgehammer, Mark in Collegeville right now. Hi, Sledgy.
So we got the man, the myth, the legend, the Swedish canary, Jan Jansson. How you doing, Jan?
How you doing, Mark?
I'm hanging in there. And, of course, we got the Muppet Weasel Joe.
Sledgy, talk to me, man. What do you got?
So this is definitely an improvement over ESP. We love having Jan Jansson in. So the whole Pete Rose thing, all I'm going to say, short, sweet, to the point. He's a scumbag. I hate him. And it disgusts me that he's got any type of association with Philadelphia. I hate it. I don't want him anywhere near us ever again.
Well, it will never happen again, Sledge. There's no question that he will never, ever again be invited by the Phillies. And, you know, that's just, you can take that to the bank.
Yeah, and anybody who tries to call and defend him are just as scummy as he is. And that's all I'm going to say about that.
I don't think they're just as scummy as he is, but I think they got questionable judgment.
Yeah. So, on to the Eagles here.
Yes.
We're hearing some pretty good stuff lately. I'm starting to get a little bit more excited than I already was. You know,
Sledge, he has not had what's been considered by many a stellar camp. I mean, he connected with A.J. Brown yesterday, and obviously that was a great moment. You know, maybe the highlight of training camp so far, and the fact that it happened, you know, in front of 30,000 people at the link, and they see a touchdown, and a well-defended A.J. Brown's able to catch a pass because Jalen Hurts puts it in just so at the right spot. That's great, but it doesn't mean that he's about to take off and have a phenomenal season or career. Time will tell.
Right, and I understand that, but this is who Hurts is. He's showing us little spurts here and there of improvement. So if that's how he's doing it, that's fine. Improvement's improvement. I'll take it however we can get it.
All right, Sledge, give me a great team. It can be from sports or a non-sports. Best team ever, who is it?
How about the best ever underdog team, and that would be the 1980 U.S. Miracle Hockey Team.
Well, hold on. We did say none of those compilation-type teams in the Olympics, so you got to give me someone else. Hate to do it to you, but that's why the Dream Team doesn't count. Give me someone else.
All right. Well,
I wasn't expecting that.
No, I wasn't expecting that. But I will counteract. How about the 2017 Eagles?
2017 Eagles.
That's an easy one.
Yeah, problem is you're making me have to vote against the 2017 Eagles. I don't like doing that.
You know, it's funny. Mark brought this up. It's fascinating seeing the contrast there. You know, Pete Rose, who we've talked about all morning long, you know, we could never argue where he is in Major League Baseball as the player, as the athlete, what he accomplished as a baseball player, one of the greatest of all time. But then as a human being, just a human slime ball. It's for reasons like this, when we are trying to figure out who Jalen Hurts is going to be, that you will not find people rooting against him.
Oh, no question.
Because he is everything you would ever want in a professional athlete. He has the leadership skills. He's a gym rat. He's a film rat. You know, he is very charitable with the community. Does all these great things. It's because of reasons like that that people are always going to have his back and give him that extra time that maybe he doesn't even deserve.
Well, he clearly gets some benefit of the doubt. I think that's part of it. And, you know, he's an athlete. No matter whether he's going to be great, good, below average, or something in between any of that, you're proud, I'll speak from my vantage point, as a Philadelphia sports fan, I'm proud that Jalen Hurts represents Philadelphia sports. He obviously is a quality person. You know, to me, who's very similar in that regard, maybe like exactly the same, that I am critical of him at times, but you know the guy is a good dude, is Tobias Harris.
Yeah.
He's just a great guy.
Yeah.
He's a great guy. And so, you know, I don't take joy as a Philadelphia sports fan, as a talk show host, when I'm critical of people that I think are good people. But I do have to keep it real when we're, you know, evaluating how good is someone as a performer and whether he is the right person to keep around to, you know, have the team ultimately try to win a title. I mean, those are, you know, that's at Sports Talk Radio. But
congratulations to Tobias, by the way.
Got married over the weekend.
Yeah.
Tobias, you get the invite to the wedding?
I did not get the invite. But there was a lot of jokes that many believed he was getting married to Boban. But
yeah, that was funny because he said, I'm marrying my best friend. And then he said on Twitter to clarify, I am not actually marrying
God,
Boban.
God, what a great guy he was, man.
Boban?
Oh, my God.
So tell me more about him. You're in the locker room more frequently. What's the deal with Boban?
The hot minute that he was in Philadelphia, he was one of my favorite players to cover. He was just down to earth. He just got it. It's fascinating little tidbit about Boban.
Yep.
Because of his sheer size.
Yep.
His hands were the largest of any player I've ever seen in my life. His hands were so large that a standard cell phone couldn't accommodate him. Like, his fingers were so big he could hit multiple numbers or letters.
Wow.
So many times, I don't know how frequently he did this, but he did it a lot on road trips, he would use an iPad as his phone.
Wow.
And it looked like a regular cell phone in his hands because his hands were so big. And his teammates used to make fun of him all the time because of it. But, yeah, great guy.
That is really amazing. Let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494. Jan Janssen in today for Richie. Obviously, again, we'll be at training camp tomorrow. Jody Mack and I at training camp tomorrow. Let's go to Alex right now in Manayunk. Hi, Alex.
Hello. I just wanted to talk about the Pete Rose situation.
Yes.
And how I think people should have reacted on Saturday or Sunday when he was there at the game. I was honestly surprised. I've been listening to the station for a really long time, and I was surprised last week that there was even the idea of people standing to cheer him, because these allegations weren't new. They came out in 2017.
Yep.
So I don't know why it took him opening his mouth on Sunday for people to then be completely surprised.
Well, it's a totally valid point, Alex. I mean, the reality is, I wish we had done a poll last week how many people supported him being invited. My guess is that it would have been over 50% of the people.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, just based on the ovation he got yesterday, I get the impression that more people wanted him there than not. And again, I'll say, and I addressed this last week on the air, I was one of them. I thought it was the right call to invite him. Looking back, obviously, it looks like it was not the right call. But Alex, I understand the point you're making. I mean, it's a very valid point.
Yeah, I mean, it was a 14-year-old girl, and he was in his 30s. I don't understand why people still wanted him. I mean, I know, you know, you're looking back at the player, but I just don't get how people can separate that.
No,
that's my biggest thing.
It's a very valid point. Alex, give me the best team ever. You got a shot to win tickets.
I will do the Warriors team with KD
When
they went back-to-back.
Listen, I think that's got a shot to win. I mean, they were – you know, they would face LeBron in the finals, and LeBron would be lucky if he got a game. I think 1 year was a sweep, and I think 1 year LeBron got one game, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it was essentially unfair. It was just – and it was, the whole thing was the salary cap, because the salary cap had increased, and it just so happened to time up with when Durant was a free agent. So a team that already was the best team in the world, you know, could sign a player that was in the top two or three of the world. The whole thing was ridiculous.
I'll tell you what, all these years later, when he is healthy – Kevin Durant's the best player in the league.
No, he's not.
Yes, he absolutely is.
No, he's
hands
not.
Down
no,
the
he's
best
not.
Player.
No, he's not in the top two. He might be three.
What?
He's behind Steph, and he's still behind LeBron.
No, he's certainly not behind Steph. And I love Steph. I don't mean to like degrade him or anything.
No.
And LeBron is not LeBron anymore.
Well, LeBron is not LeBron with a capital L, every letter capitalized. But LeBron, I think LeBron is still the best player in the world. And whenever the torch gets passed, and it will happen soon, I think it gets passed to Steph Curry, not Kevin Durant. Listen, Durant's a great player.
Well, they're all in their 30s now. I mean, they're not young anymore.
I get it, man. I understand. 215-592-9494. All right, let's little run-through recap of all the nonsense that occurred yesterday from Pete Rose. So the exchange with Alex Coffey, the Philadelphia Inquirer beat reporter on the Phillies, happened prior to the announcement of Pete Rose at the ballpark. But let's start with the announcement, because most fans in the stands, perhaps all fans in the stands, did not know at that moment that interaction had occurred. So let's start with the introduction. And while there are some boos, there clearly are many more cheers, and for most of the cheers, very loud cheers by people and a big standing ovation from most fans. Here is how it sounded when Pete Rose was introduced yesterday.
Batting second, number 14, Pete Rose. First baseman.
Now, John, you referred to it earlier as probably about 80% cheers, 20% boos.
Yeah, that sounds about right. And the ones who were cheering, I mean, you could see it on the broadcast. It was a standing ovation.
Oh, no question. I mean, it was a big ovation. I mean, it was, I think, the biggest ovation. I think
of all the players that were introduced for alumni. Yeah, it was.
I thought it was. All right, so prior, it was either prior to or right after the team photograph before the game. The Inquirer Phillies reporter Alex Coffey had an opportunity to speak to Pete Rose, and here's what she tweeted about that interaction. She said, "Now this broke. Let me look here. This says 11:51. I'm looking at my phone. 11:51 a.m. So I guess this broke pregame. It made more rounds. I think it's fair to say during the game.
This was before the introduction.
Correct.
Because it was afterwards where there was.
But it picks up steam in the coming hours because more and more people are retweeting it." Comment on it, you know, texting their friends about it. So just to be clear, like, I did not know when that introduction had occurred that this tweet was already out there.
Okay.
I'm just giving you different people at different
timelines.
I'm sure
a vast majority of those at the ballpark had no idea either.
I would think so. All right. So what Alex Coffey tweeted at 11:51 yesterday was, she tweeted, "I asked Pete Rose what he would say to people who say his presence here sends a negative message to women. His response, quote, no, I'm not here to talk about that. Sorry about that. It was 55 years ago. Babe." Really bad. Really, really, really bad by Pete Rose. And then after he's been introduced, and I don't know exactly what time this would be. I imagine it's either right before the game's played or perhaps during the game. I really don't know. But there's an opportunity for reporters to interact with Pete Rose. And a reporter asks him about the interaction with Alex Coffey earlier, and this exchange occurs. As Dan Wilson looks to pull up the audio, the interaction in the clubhouse with the reporter asking him, hold on,
during the game is underway.
And here is the interaction when Pete Rose is, you know, let's say challenged about the interaction that had occurred earlier.
We're asked before the game about how you thought some of the sexual allegations against you in 2017 might affect the way fans or women view.
I'm going to tell you one more time. I'm here for the Philly fans. I'm here for my teammates. Okay? I'm here for the Philly organization. And who cares what happened 50 years ago? You weren't even born. So you shouldn't be talking about it because you weren't born. And if you don't know a damn thing about it, don't talk about it.
And obviously, not only is he being an ass, he's being totally ignorant with regard to the way he's even presenting this, because when he says you shouldn't be talking about something before you were born, I mean, so I'm not allowed to speak about something before 1978? I was born in 78.
So many levels.
I mean, what are we doing here?
So many levels
and
of
the
wrong.
And the worst comment of all in that sequence was the who cares what happened 50 years ago. That comment has no...
Like the whole legal ramifications and what he's trying to not talk about, he's there for alumni weekend to celebrate a team that won 42 years ago.
Yeah.
But he won't address something that happened a few years prior to that. I mean, there's just so many levels of wrong.
Totally massive levels of wrong. And then he is taken up to the booth and spends an inning with the Phillies broadcast team. It was very uncomfortable in a lot of ways. And Pete Rose, fairly early on in the process, made a comment that harkens back to a Tony Perez hit from years ago, and a comment said years ago, which Pete Rose, for some ridiculous reason, thought would either be appropriate to say on the air or inappropriate to say on the air, but that which he would get some kind of laugh out of. Here's Rose. Obviously, we got to bleep it out. It's a C word. Related to, what am I going to say here, John? Male genitalia.
Yeah, that's a good
And word. It is an S word that is the basic S word from a curse standpoint. Here's Pete Rose. This was live on TV, and it wasn't with the bleeps. We had to bleep it.
I hit a high fastball. And Joe didn't know what to say. Joe said, no.
Yeah, just think above the knees and below the belt, and there's your fastball. Listen, the guy's scummy. He's just scummy.
Yeah, and he wasn't done either. I mean, he kept going, and he made the booth even more uncomfortable. It's funny, as the show's going on, I remember it better now, Because after he had had the Q&A session where he said, who cares what happened 50 years ago, mm-hmm. the instant reaction by everyone was, oh, my God, there's no way they put him in the booth now. And then, sure enough, 20 minutes later, there he was in the booth. Now, that is totally on the Phillies. Because he even said when he first arrived in the booth, I'm only here because they told me to.
Correct.
Wait, I mean, you got to be kidding me.
Well, listen, someone made a big mistake, whoever that is. And the shame of it is, it's probably someone who's a pretty good person. Honest to God. Like, the Phillies have a lot of really good people. Someone made a big mistake.
But there's a level of common sense that has to be applied here.
I agree, John. I don't disagree. And something we hadn't even addressed here in this sequence was there was a comment before he was up in the booth where he referenced, this was off camera, but he referenced that he would sign 1,000 baseballs, you know, for the reporter and for Alex Coffey and to give them to her.
Yeah.
You know, as
it smooth just, things over.
Yeah. So listen, just a series of disastrous, you know, decisions, actions by Rose. And really, he just let a lot of people down. He's a very crude person. He was given, you know, some benefit of the doubt by the Phillies in inviting him, obviously at the behest of some members of the 80 Phillies who wanted him there, which the Philly statement was very clear about when they issued a statement a couple weeks ago. And also, you know, he kind of spit in the face of people that gave him the benefit of the doubt. He spit in their face.
Now, Joe, as someone like you who, I mean, he was a hero to some sorts. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's one of the great players in Major League Baseball history and the main reason the Phillies were able to get over the top and win that World Series. How do you feel about him right now? Because you always looked at him in a certain light.
Listen, I think he is scummy. I mean, he was a great player. He obviously is. He's a pathetic figure. I know we had the call in earlier and say, well, he was sort of born in an area, county where, you know, it wasn't the most advanced form of American civilization. You know, maybe that's true. I've heard that theory before. But he's also lived on this earth for 81 years.
Yep.
I mean, at a certain point, like, grow up, dude.
Yeah, you grow up and you learn.
You know? So,
simple as that.
Look, I told you earlier, John, I knew about 10 years ago, I met Pete Rose. And I knew within 30 seconds that he was crude. It was just so evident right away. Public scenario, you know, not public meaning on the airwaves, but public in a office building.
Mm-hmm.
People around, women around, people around. And it's like, oh yeah, this is uncomfortable right out of the gate. You can just you just know when you know. And I could tell with Rose.
Yeah.
But I was a big fan of Pete Rose. I mean, of course I was a big fan of Pete Rose. Most of us were, if not all of us, were huge fans of Pete Rose. Let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Stan in New Jersey right now. Hi, Stan.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, Stan.
Hey, Stan. How are you, man?
How are you?
Good, buddy.
My first time caller.
Well, welcome aboard.
Oh, thank you. I listen to you all the time at work.
Thank you.
You're a little goofy, though, a little bit sometimes.
All right. So what do you got for us today, Stan?
And so is Jan Janssen.
There you go.
So what's going on, Stan?
Yeah, I grew up with Pete Rose in 1980s,
yep.
16 years old. And I thought Pete Rose was the best thing that ever came to the Phillies. He actually put him over the
Yeah, he was instrumental in the Phillies winning the World Series, no question about it.
And, yeah, just to see yesterday, and, yeah, it's pretty weird. I have two young sons, well, not young anymore, 27, 24. When we go to baseball games, they wear Carlton shirts. He wears Chase Utley shirts.
Yep.
Never did I ever tell him to buy a Pete Rose shirt.
Mm-hmm. Well, back in the day, I might have. I mean, obviously, I probably did have a Pete Rose something back in the day. But, you know, we're not back in the day anymore.
No, Stan, I know for many Phillies fans who, were, you know, grew up idolizing him similar to the way you did, you know, as a teenager, it's finding out more, you know, finding out, Stan, about the person behind the player.
Yeah, it's brutal. Hey, Stan, give me best team ever. Who do you got, my man? I stand not ready to go. Yeah, there you go.
It's tough, and this is I see some people who are reacting differently than we are that are more defending him. It's tough for some people who, when you idolize someone as great as that player was, to find out the person behind the player, it's a tough reality, and some don't want to see it that way. They don't want to admit it.
Well, that's true. That's exactly right. 215-592-9494. Again, you can react to the situation from yesterday, what went down, where you think it goes from here. Still no statement from the Phils, which
let me check my email.
Which surprises me, because I thought the situation warranted.
No, nothing from the Phils.
That the Phillies should send out a public statement, but they have not yet. We'll see if they do. I mean, today's the day. Can't do it later this week. You got to do it today. So they haven't issued anything yet. We'll see if they do. Joe DeCameron, John Johnson in for Richie today on 94 WIP. All right, Joe DeCameron and John Johnson in for Richie today, 94 WIP. What do you prefer, the John or the Jan?
Well,
the Johnson or the Janssen?
Well, here's the – it's funny because of damn Al Morgani. When he just started, just out of nowhere, started calling me that, it hit certain moments of embarrassment before I got used to it. It became very strange when I ran to my father's house to give him a hand with something, and he called me Jan.
That's bizarre.
That would be really uncomfortable. And then another time I was covering a game, and I was sitting in the press room waiting for a head coach to come out. And a camera guy for NBC Sports Philadelphia wanted to talk to me, and he yelled across the room, Jan Janssen! And everybody stops and turns and looks at me, and it's the most embarrassing, humiliating thing ever. And then you get used to it. Honestly, I don't care. Whatever you prefer. Whatever makes you comfortable.
Well, I call you John because I knew you, John, before you were John.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you're John to
it's
me.
It's fine.
But I mean,
John is fine with me.
But you like
that is my name, after all.
It is, in fact, your name. Do you spell your name wrong like Richie does?
Well, my full name's Jonathan, so it's J-O-N.
Yeah, you spell your name wrong.
No, it's correct.
No, John is.
If it's just John, it's J-O-H-N.
John's supposed to be J-O-H-N.
Is John Richie, is John short for Jonathan?
I don't know, but he spells his name wrong. He spells both names wrong, actually. He's got no H in the John, and he's got a T in the Richie.
Do you capitalize the C in your last name?
I do.
Why?
Why not? You like that? Why not? It's got a thumbs. 215-592-9494. It's good to have some yucks in a day that otherwise has been a pretty heavy topic day, to say the least. Let's go to Paul in Downeytown right now. Hi, Paul.
Hey, good afternoon, guys.
Hey, Paul.
So I would like to think that just, you know, as human beings, one of our evolutionary goals as individuals is just to rise above our own ignorance. And I would also like to think that when we make mistakes and are forgiven in the public eye, that we would demonstrate some humility.
Mm-hmm.
Pete's inability and refusal to do all of this, despite all of the evidence and examples that he has around him, makes him Charlie tone deaf, if nothing else. I loved him growing up. I'm 52. I have the benefit of remembering the Phillies' struggles to climb to the World Championship before him and the missing piece that he was afterwards. I cheered for him. I railed against his exclusion from the Hall of Fame, and to some degree, I still do. But I don't care anymore. I've lost all motivation for anything, on my behalf for anything really good to happen.
Paul, I think what you are saying, I think, is the way a lot of people feel. Because there's no question. I mean, I remember the polls over the last few decades. More people supported Rose for the Hall of Fame than were against it. No question about that. And, I did a presentation, Paul, in both high school and college. I had a class where you had to give a speech. One was a speech class in college. I don't know what the heck it was in high school. And my topic that I chose for the speech in front of the class was Pete Rose should be in the Hall of Fame. And so, I was like literally on the record. And you get to the point now where, I mean, some people obviously are going to move to no, but some people are just going to be, even if they're not no, they're no longer yes. Like, you just don't care to advocate for it anymore.
Yeah.
Which is where most people in society were 10 or 20 years ago. Clearly, most people were advocating for Pete in the Hall of Fame 10 and 20 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, you're exactly right. And you hate to say something like he's earned it, or, it's self-serve justice. But, you know, there's nothing else you can say. The guy has earned it. And I have quick Phillies and Eagles points.
Sure.
You know, I think Hurtsy should play. I do believe in football shape. I understand that, you know, the yet-to-be-proven philosophy about, you know, sacrificing football shape in September for fewer injuries throughout the season.
Yep.
We'll see if that holds through, if it was just a one-time thing. I don't like it because what you're regardless of any speculation, what you are saying is we're going into start game one, game two, and potentially game three in less football shape than our opposition, and we're doing it for an unknown benefit. So I just don't like it for that reason.
All right, but, Paul, give me a big answer here for best team ever. Who do you got?
All right, look, this is ridiculous. I know you guys don't like this because it's soccer, but only one team in the modern era, 130 years, has gone through a season undefeated, and that was the Arsenal Gunners in 2003-04.
Wow, I thought he was going to say the Philadelphia Charge.
The Philadelphia Charge.
Yeah, remember the Charge?
Oh my God.
Dude, remember they played Villanova Stadium?
Yeah, I do remember
Philadelphia
that.
Charge.
Look at you.
Yes, I was a fan.
Let me ask you a question.
I wasn't much of a fan, but I was a fan.
Do you worry?
I'm not voting for a soccer team here, am I?
Probably not.
Yeah, probably not.
They're under consideration.
What, undefeated? How many straight? 5,000, did he say? 4,000?
I don't know.
130?
Yeah, 130.
All right, what do you got here? Give me your question.
Are you concerned at all that the Eagles are susceptible to an early season unexpected loss because of their approach to training camp?
Yes.
Because their first four games, if they're properly prepared, they should start out 4-0.
Well, I don't know that they're good enough for that. Maybe. But if you notice how I answered your question, I answered it based on what you said. Are you concerned they could?
Because the teams are favored.
Because there's also, if you ask me, are you of the mindset that there's a chance the Eagles will not suffer from a lack of preparation in the preseason games? My answer to that would be, yeah, you're correct. They might not suffer.
They might not.
It
right.
could go either way. Listen, a lot of teams aren't doing much in training camp.
Well, the reason I bring this up, let me get more specific.
All right, go ahead.
Right now, the Detroit Lions, who are not nearly as talented as the Eagles,
yep.
With their head coach Dan Campbell, are going more of a traditional route when it comes to training camp.
Yeah,
now, they're still limited on when they can tackle, how many days.
Just to be clear, he's bite the kneecap off guy, right?
Yeah, he is way over the top, old school, you know, get you motivated type of guy.
Yep.
But he's running camp that way, too, to where when week one hits, his players will be in mid-season form physically, where the Eagles will be behind the ball. We know this, and they admit to it, that they won't be where they should be to start the season.
I don't know about that last statement. Did they admit to being behind the ball? I have not heard them say that.
Well, I will utilize one player's statement, James Bradbury, who said he was on with the morning show day last week.
Okay.
And he remarked how, yeah, you know, the first couple weeks of the season, you know, it takes a little bit of while to get going, and then we'll be full steam ahead by the halfway point. He basically described the first month of the season as a way to get ready, you know, as kind of a figure everything out month, which I hated to hear. He said it very casually, and it was very easy to miss.
Hmm.
But when I look at the Eagles' schedule, and I know it's very favorable, you can get caught by a team that's not as talented as you, sheerly because they are more prepared for week one than you
they
are.
They could. Yeah, that is certainly.
And that would be, my goodness, talk about embarrassing.
So just to be clear, do you think the approach by Sirianni, and I'll call it Howie, because I think Howie has a big hand in this.
Absolutely.
Do you think the approach by Sirianni and Howie with training camp is a mistake?
I do. I absolutely do.
Yeah,
you don't prep for a 25-mile marathon by running around the block twice and said, look, we beat our time from yesterday.
Yeah. Well, look, Twitter poll question of the day, and everyone can weigh in at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. Do you think Nick Sirianni should play? In this case, we're focusing just on Hurts. Should Sirianni play Hurts in Friday's first preseason game? A, yes. B, no. You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. Certainly, you can weigh in on the phone lines as well, 215-592-9494. Let's go to Frank in Northeast Philadelphia. Hi, Frank.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Hey, Frank.
Hey. First of all, let me preface and say that I listen to your show every day. I really love it. Even with Joe there, I still love it. any event.
Would you like it more if Jan Janssen here replaced me and Richie? So it would be John
and
John.
I got used to you. Joe, I got used to you. No.
You're an acquired taste, Joe.
No, I'm like fine wine.
That's exactly right.
No, I'm like bourbon.
Fine wine.
Bourbon's kind of rough in the beginning, right? If bourbon time, it's like, it's disgusting. Then people like bourbon. I don't get it. Anyway.
I'll tell you a funny story just like you had.
I'm thinking of scotch, not bourbon. Scotch. I think scotch is nasty. Oh, it's so nasty.
Scotch is an acquired taste.
Oh, my God, is it nasty.
Yes. Yeah. Well, anyway, like you, I had a run-in with Pete Rose many, many years ago. I answered a stupid contest guessing his 3,000th hit against what team and what pitcher.
Wow.
And I won. So anyway, the winner was getting $100, and you get to spend a afternoon in the Cincinnati dugout. They were playing the Phillies at the time.
Oh, wow.
And he was, yeah, it was wow. And I really was excited about it until I met him.
Hmm.
And, you know, he was larger than life to me, you know, and I'm 18 years old and, you know, and he was a bit sarcastic, standoffish, and he really didn't want to be there. Sparky Anderson saw him. He said, "What the hell are you doing there?" So excuse the language, but yeah, that's what he said to me. And it was a bad day all the way around.
Yeah,
I couldn't wait to get out of there. But anyway,
well, Frank, sorry to hear that interaction, man. That stuff's not fun when you have them.
No, and I thought yesterday, you know, that you weren't getting an apology from him from anything. I didn't know he had the interview. But still, I mean,
But Frank, there's a difference between an apology and the attack, and just the totally. It's like he was a human from a different millennium or something.
And
he is. I mean, the 20th century is different than the 21st century. We are now in the 21st century.
He's
acting like an idiot.
But let me tell you, I would say I spent over 30 years in law enforcement. And I've dealt with a lot of these guys, especially the professional ball players.
Yep.
And most of them are pretty nice guys, you know, gentlemen and everything. But there's a lot. There's a lot out there that could care less. And you know, you look at the women aspect, and they treat them so badly. And I've seen so many examples of it in my life. And the sad fact about it is that the guy who wanted to strangle him, you know, I heard that this morning.
Call,
and I said, well, if you're watching the NBA or watching the NFL, you know, you're kind of a hypocrite in some sorts, but you know, listen, so am I because I watch it. And,
I don't think hypocrite's the right word.
Yeah,
just we know that we are, as sports fans, put in a compromised position at times when you know the person you're looking at is either a bad guy or might be a bad guy, but you enjoy the product, and then you have to ask yourself, am I going to keep watching or not? Everyone can make their own decision. Frank, give me a great answer for best team ever.
I was just split between two people. I'm going to say Lennon and McCartney.
You know, that's an interesting
Ooh.
One. So here's the problem.
Wait
it's half of the Beatles, but they're about, I don't know, 80.
They're everything.
80 to 90% of the Beatles.
Remove them. What do you have? A house band?
You got George and Ringo.
You got a house band.
You still got George, though.
George will eventually make it on, like, his fifth album. He'll get recognized for some single. But Lennon and McCartney are the reason of the Beatles.
It's an interesting answer. I gotta zoom that one around in my brain.
Say the Beatles, like that is a team.
Yeah, he could have said the Beatles.
He could have just said the Beatles.
He could. So, what answer would be better, John? I mean, you can make the case Lennon and McCartney is better than the Beatles. You can say.
I'll go by what he said.
No, I know, but what would have been a better answer?
I suppose the Beatles, right? Because
I don't know.
Ringo goes first.
Ringo brings you down. 215-592-94.
Was Ringo a net negative on the Beatles?
That's my point.
Was it the glasses? It's the sunglasses, isn't it?
Just come on, Ringo. Hey, coming up, another residual reality related to this. That's three straight R's. A residual reality related to this Lenny Dykstra situation. To the Pete Rose situation is the Lenny Dykstra situation.
Huh?
Next year, when the Phils have the 30th anniversary of the 93 Phils, will Lenny Dykstra be invited? And to what extent will that decision be shaped by the fiasco that was Pete Rose yesterday? We'll dive into that. We'll rock all your calls up ahead. Joe to camera. John Johnson in for Rich today on 94 WIP.